Welcome to the Happiness First Radio Show, where you learn to consciously create the life you want. Your host, Lorraine Gordon, an expert in law of attraction and present moment awareness, along with her expert guests, give you the tools you need to focus your attention and thoughts to create your best life. And now, here's your host, Lorraine Gordon.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Lorraine Gordon. I'm your online coach of Your Happiness Way, and it's my job to inspire you, to help you to be all that you can be, and even to help you figure out that there's more than you've ever thought of, that you can be. And today's show is all about that. It's really about living full out, living without fear and following our inner wisdom, those urgings, you know, those wishes that we have, like, I want to do something, but then all the what ifs come into your mind. This would be just going for it. Wouldn't it be great to take off those shackles, take off the things that are holding you back from doing and being all that you want? I mean, how many things have you wanted to do, yet you didn't have the courage or you didn't have the nerve to actually do it? And I want to say to you, now is the time. I would say you only live once, but if you know me at all, you know I'm a believer in reincarnation. And as Goethe put it, this life, gentlemen, is much too short for our souls. If this life were sufficient for our souls, we would not go through it consumed with fear. So, how do we follow our spiritual yearnings fearlessly when we're consumed with the everyday parts of living life? The mundane, the things that we have to do to keep a roof over our head, to keep our kids fed. And if you're the type that believes in a punishing God, one to be afraid of, one that watches you to see if you made it to your place of religious worship, you're not going to relate to what will be said on my show. Yes, this may be different than what you're accustomed to, but it's going to be liberating and wonderful and help to make you free all at the same time. So I just spoke of worship. What does worship mean to me? Worship is something I do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with gratitude. Worship to me is looking into the stars. It's looking at a flower or walking in nature. It's breathing in the same air that has been breathed by every great master that walked the earth. But I still haven't gotten to the meat of this show, and that's about living full out, yet still taking care of our everyday lives. We have responsibilities. So you might ask me, Lorraine, how do I live full out? How do I live fearlessly? How do I do all those things that I feel a yearning to do, but still take care of all my responsibilities? And you know that saying, what would you do if money wasn't an issue? Well, it's more than that. What about if fear of failure wasn't an issue, or fear of making a fool of yourself? But I want to ask you, are you yearning for more? Are you feeling the stirrings of something deep within you? And you want to express it, yet it doesn't even seem possible? Well, I think my guest today, Tony Agel, is just what the doctor ordered for you. So in a moment, we're going to get busy and talk to Tony, and he's going to tell you how to discover your purpose, your power, and your passion. Let me give you a little bit of information about him. Tony Agel found out the hard way that there is nothing more unmotivating than working just for a paycheck and believing money and materialism will bring happiness, or selling your soul for what we've been taught will make us happy. He left a comfy and secure corporate America job to pursue his life's purpose of inspiring and empowering people to find their purpose and to live their dreams. He found his calling, and he's dedicated to helping you uncover the life you are called to live. And in the past, he had serious anger problems. He used to get into barroom fights, and during his high school days, he was a real bully. Although you would never know it. And I'm looking at his picture now. He looks like a sweet teddy bear to me. He took the hero's journey and evolved as a compassionate human being with a huge, tender heart who loves to inspire those around him. He lives in Pennsylvania with his beautiful wife, Gail, and his daughter, Annie the dog. He's the author of a fabulous book called The Hero Inside You, and it will be released on October 7th. And without waiting any longer, I'm going to bring him on. Tony?
Hello.
How are you today?
Oh, loving life. And you?
Great. I'm really going to have fun with you on this show today, I can tell.
Absolutely. I love that introduction you did. We resonate big time.
I can tell. I can tell just looking at the questions that I am going to, you know, looking over your bio a little bit and reading a little bit about your book. I think our purposes are very much the same, and that is to inspire people and to help them to go for it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let me ask you a question. Why do you think most people are working at jobs they don't even like? And all they're doing is they're going to work in the morning, and then they're coming home and getting ready to go back to work the next day. That's it. That's their life.
The answer to that is what I was doing a few years ago. It's listening to what we were trained or conditioned or taught ever since we've been little, ever since we've been little kids. We've heard it on TV, heard it from parents, heard it from relatives, friends. Get a good job, make lots of money, and you'll be happy. But the problem is, you're not happy. Mm. And after a while of doing this, there's something inside you goes, with me, went, there's more, gotta be more to life. What is there? There's got to be more to life than just working to make money to pay the bills and, you know, have do stuff on weekends. And so what we've been trained and taught and what we learned is how we got to get past that.
Right, right. And that's why I don't know if you know too much about me, but my motto is happiness first. The rest will follow. So in other words, get happy now, and being happy now, fulfilling your purpose or whatever it is, being grateful, that draws to you more things to be happy about. Don't expect a job or money to make you happy, because you're going to always be putting off your happiness. It's your happiness that's got to be kind of first, don't you think?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. I worked on myself for years before I left my job. Gratitude, just affirmations, absolutely. And my whole energy, everything shifted for me.
Mm-hmm. So you see, those things really do work. Gratitude, affirmations, absolutely. That is, those are the roads to going for it. And when you're practicing gratitude, you started to feel happy, didn't you?
I like to...
You sound like you feel happy now.
Absolutely. My word for it is joy. That's just my word for it. Mm-hmm. It's joy. It's holy mackerel. Like you said in the beginning, it's just being in nature and seeing the beauty in nature. Like you don't even have to go anywhere. It's just being in love with life itself.
You know, you are a very passionate guy. I want you to tell me a little about those high school days when you were that bully. I mean, tell me what you were like then, so I can make a better, you know, get a better idea of this huge shift that you've taken.
Absolutely. I was a bully plus a class clown. And what I'm saying is I love to make people laugh. And I love to make people laugh at other people's expense. And I definitely remember making fun of people, putting them down, just to make the whole room laugh. So I'm looking back at that whole thing and realizing, you know, how much of a bully or how much other people, how much I probably, what would I say, ruined their life or made their days very, very hard. And the interesting thing about a bully is this. The only reason you bully is you don't like yourself, period. If you love yourself and you like yourself, you will not be bullying.
Mm, Those are good words for parents and people who parents who see their children being bullied now, or people who are being bullied. And it happens even in the workplace. It happens everywhere, not just to kids.
And I would say the second thing is also that it's learned in the house. I was being bullied in my house, and it's something being learned. Those two things are definitely a combination why you go out and bully other people.
So and, I want to make two comments here, if I might. When you talked about bullying others in the classroom, I could feel your heart hurting. Does your heart hurt when you think back of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could feel it right through the air. Of course, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I really could feel it. So you have regret about those that you may have made suffer.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I can understand that. Yes. We'll work on that in a private session later. Because we have to believe that all things happen at the right time. That somehow you want to believe, even though you were very unkind to these other kids, that it was perfect for them in possibly a way that you may not understand. And as a victim of having been bullied myself as a child, I think that for me, it helped me to help others when I understand how deeply they hurt. So it isn't all bad, Tony. You know what I mean? But
no, I agree. It's one of those, I agree 100% with you. It's like, I understand why it was done. It was part of my journey. But I guess if I could erase it and do it over, I wouldn't do it.
Right, because you seem like a very kind guy now, kind guy. Now, the other interesting thing you said is that it starts in the home. And I hadn't realized that, although now that I think about it, it makes perfect sense. But, you know, parents go to the home of the kid that is bullying their kid and expect those parents to do something. And if those are the very people that this bullying behavior started with, then they're not going to do anything because that's who they are. They're big old bullies.
That's exactly. Or they might do something because they'll do something and it won't be too good because
They're going to hurt their kid.
Right. Because they don't realize they're bullying.
Right.
They don't. I mean, like me, you're unconscious. I didn't realize I was bullying. I mean, years later, it all hit me like, holy mackerel.
Wow. How old were you when you had this, like, awakening?
How old was I? I am 46. I would say roughly 41, 42,
so
roughly.
This is fairly new then.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And what kind of a job were you working in when you gave it all up and changed into this new passion of yours?
I was actually working at a nuclear plant.
Wow.
Yes. And here's the odd part about it. I cannot get a better job in the world. I'm telling you, they treated me amazing. Great people I worked with. It's just, wow, when I drove to work every day, it was like something was missing and I didn't enjoy it at all. And vacations, you know, I just cherish vacations and just hate it Monday mornings. So I just started going with the feeling like, what is, you know, what's going on? And basically it was my soul speaking to me.
Right. And so what was your soul saying?
My soul was saying,
get the hell out.
That's what it said. Actually, that's what it said at the very end. And I'm like, oh, man, that scary feeling came over me. But it was saying, I have something, purpose for you to do. I have something for you to do that when you wake up every day, oh, my God, you're just going to be extremely excited. Like, it's just going to be, your life is going to be so much different. And thank God it is. Amazing.
That took a huge leap of faith to go from this bully as a kid, and then you're working kind of a mainstream, although not so mainstream, in a nuclear power plant job with all this security, and all of a sudden your soul and your inner wisdom is saying there's a purpose for you, a bigger reason. I mean, how did you go from one to the other? Were there books in between or a lecture or something? Were you listening to me on the radio?
It was lots of books, lots of meditation, and lots of walks in nature. And I also will tell you the other thing. It's a chapter in my book. I think it's chapter number 3. It's called Courageous Heart. And Courageous Heart is, your heart is so courageous, it knows what is best for you. But I will also say one thing. It's like any other muscle you build when you go to the gym. You know, day one, you're not doing major stuff in the gym, like major workouts, major this. And it's the same with your courageous heart. I was listening to my courageous heart for years before I made that big move. Like, I remember one time driving about 2 in the morning, and I passed a car that was broke down. It was a single guy. Well, I didn't know what it was at the time, but I could see one guy. And I was just thinking, and my courageous heart was going, help him out, help him out. Scared to death. Didn't know, you know, I was going to get shot. Didn't know what was going to happen. But I listened, and I'll never forget what this guy said when I helped him out, when I left him. I jump-started him. He goes, thank you. I love you. This young black guy.
Wow.
I was like, oh. But, it's like baby steps. Every day your heart is trying to guide you. And this upstairs, what we talked about before, your conditioning and everything's just trying to avoid it and stop it. It's like everything you might have been taught as a child is putting the resistance in to stop it.
How did you feel when this guy said, I love you? Did you feel it?
I feel it today.
Wow. Yeah. Love is everything. Yeah. It made you happy. I mean, you're a very joyful guy. You really are.
Absolutely. Oh, that was so. But my point is, just take baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. And then there'll be a day where it's like, okay, I want you to take a huge leap. And you'll be like, whew, okay, okay.
So do you think that's why a lot of the spiritual teachers today say sometimes do something a little differently than you'd normally? Take that left and you normally take a right. Use your left hand instead of your right hand. Do things that take the teeniest little bits of risk just so that you get used to it. And then when you get that urge, you're more able to do it. You're kind of more conditioned.
Absolutely. That's called your comfort zone. And
yeah.
Every day I say do something a little out of your comfort zone. And for the listeners that don't really understand the comfort zone, again, is all these thoughts that each and every one of us been trained or programmed with upstairs, and they're going to try to stop us. And I think every day the best thing you can do for this world is do something out of your comfort zone that brings more compassion, love, kindness, joy in this world. And and that's right from your soul. And that is a big step in finding your purpose and meaning in life.
Wow. Because you think the door opens then? You think the universe hears you and it's ready to give you more?
Absolutely.
So you're opening up a space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As Eckhart Tolle would say. Let me ask you this. So would you say that going out of your comfort zone was stopping and helping this guy at the edge of the street in a broken down car? Was that your going out of your comfort zone?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Comfort zone and listening to your heart, I guess it's all called the same. But yeah, I was scared. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 2 in the morning.
Right.
A highway, you don't know what's going to happen.
It's so true. And it might be a setup. You don't know.
Oh, everything was going through my head.
But
your gut
said do it.
Yes, or I like to call it my heart. My heart was saying, help this guy out, help this guy out. And I could just tell, wow, it was the best thing in the world. But I had to get off the exit and come back. And your mind is going to be chattering. It's going to be going back and forth. It was going to go, oh, my gosh, you're going to get killed. You're going to get this and going to get that.
I could just see your mother standing there shaking her finger at you. Right? No, Tony, don't do that.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, another time I had a profound experience. I just picked up a hitchhiker.
Whoa.
And again, and your mind, you hitchhiker, right? What's your mind automatically say? Ooh, you can get killed, you can get hurt, and get this. I mean, I have the same thing going, but I ignore that chatter and start listening to my heart. And this guy had just lost everything. Lost his wife, lost his house, lost everything. And he's hitchhiking. Wow, man, it tears me up a little bit right now thinking about it. But, and, you know, I had money. And when he got out of the car, I can't even remember the exact amount I gave him, but I gave him a good amount of money, and I was just like,
it did your heart good. Did your heart good. Now, I just want to say something for everyone listening. We are in no way telling you to, you know, go to the side of the road and help somebody in the pitch black, or no, and we're not telling you to pick up hitchhikers. But I think what Tony, but we're not telling you not to either. What Tony is saying is he was deeply in touch with his inner wisdom, and his inner wisdom told him it was okay. And in his case, it was okay. So unless you're real secure with your inner wisdom, I'm going to ask you, if you do decide to do something like that, don't write me and tell me I told you to do it. Well, I'll give you Tony's address.
Remember the very first thing I said, baby steps. And I would say to me, you know, and I took a lot of baby steps to get to those points. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. The very first baby steps might be, you know, tomorrow, just your smile. Start smiling at strangers. And you're going to be surprised at the strangers that don't smile and say hi. And you're going to be surprised at strangers that don't smile at you and don't say hi. But that's okay. That's about them. But I'm just giving you an idea of a baby step. And maybe do that for a month. And then something else in a month. Baby steps.
Yeah, I like it. And often I know if I just smile at somebody, they sometimes can't help it. Their lips curl up and they smile back.
Absolutely.
You know, something really fun happened to me the other day in the market. I walked in. I love to dance more than anything. I just love to dance. And I'm usually in a pretty happy mood, and I think it kind of shows. And I walked into the market, and I'm in the soup aisle, and this woman is shopping for soup, and she sees me, and I'm just smiling because I was. And she looks at me, and she does a little jig. She just looked at me and danced. Just did a little dance, and I did a little dance back. And I want to tell you, we had a minute of a lot of fun right there in the supermarket. If you feel like dancing at the supermarket, let that be your step out of your comfort zone, because it's cool, isn't it? It's just another way to say, hey, I'm here. I'm fearless. I'm going to have fun.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I actually posted one time on Facebook, this group I was part of, but I put the James Brown song, I Feel Good.
Yeah.
I said, wherever you're at right now, get up and just feel good. And one of the ladies in the group actually was at work and got on her desk and started dancing.
It's contagious. It's contagious when you feel this way, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. How do people who are, you know, like you were, I mean, for some reason you were called to pick up those inspirational books and to meditate, but how do people find purpose and passion and meaning in their life? What is your advice to them?
Well, we already talked about the two main things is realizing where our thoughts come from, you know, as a kid, and just start to question them. And then the second thing is to actually follow your heart, you know, just follow that, which we talked about. And the third thing, major thing, is just to get quiet. Get still, get quiet. Mm-hmm. Meditation, nature. Mm-hmm. We are just flooded, all of us, I believe, I'll speak for myself, flooded with noise in this society. There is just noise everywhere. And that's just all up in your head. To be able to start getting quiet and get with yourself, that's a beautiful experience. And we don't have time for it here on this phone call, but I have an actual 90-day program in my book that walks you through what I will make you in 90 days feel like $1 million.
Wow.
Yes.
That is pretty exciting. And let's tell everybody that the name of your book is The Hero Inside You. The Hero Inside You. And as a beautiful giveaway, Tony's offered to give listeners of this show two free chapters of The Hero Inside of You. And you can download that by going to my site, LorraineGordon.com. There'll be a place for radio show gifts. If you're listening to it on Blog Talk, you're going to see a link for radio show gifts, and you'll see Tony's free gift right there for you. And I think once you read those two chapters, hopefully you'll you'll be inspired to get the rest of the book, and we'll give you links for that too. And then you can try his 90-day journey for power, passion, and purpose. Sounds pretty exciting, Tony.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Is there anything better than inspiring people?
No, that's what I did. That's what I live for. I mean, it feeds my soul. It's like it's like this this give and take of energy. I give it, and it comes back, and I give it, and it comes back, and or it comes back. I don't know where what starts it, but it's energizing and it's fulfilling, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, universe.
You know, this is interesting. What would your parents have said as a kid if you would have said that in the household? They would have gone, what are you talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's very, very interesting. I heard your introduction and you talked about religion. And that's what I was brought up in, an extremely, extremely, extremely religious house. So that's what I was conditioned with, very religious, going to hell. One story is, did you? I don't know if you ever heard of this movie called The Thief in the Night. It was a movie about the rapture and how the rapture takes place, where religious people believe that the rapture, all believers will be, Jesus will come down and all believers will be sucked up in the sky. Uh-huh. And that could be someone driving a car and a non-believer sitting beside them. And the car is going to wreck, or an airplane, the pilot's a believer, and the whole airplane wrecks. And that's what the movie was about. And I watched this probably at about 10, 11 years old.
Wow, frightening, huh?
Oh, my word. And I still remember looking at the ceiling for hours. And finally went over to my parents and said, you know, I don't want to miss the rapture. And my mom said, you got to be a good boy and believe in God. So I was definitely conditioned and programmed to believe, to fear God, instead of, you know, I found out years ago that God is love, mm-hmm. nothing but unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that was great that you told that story, because I'm sure there are many people that are possibly, conflicted about their belief, what they were taught versus what their soul is urging them to do now, and that's to go more to the loving God, the God that you speak of and that I speak of, that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to go anywhere. It's just quieting down. And what you said was brilliant, Tony, because not only is there noise outside of us, but it's that inside chatter, nonstop yakking that is a noisy mind. And until we learn to quiet that mind down, we can't hear that inner wisdom or the voice of God that is giving us the direction that you so clearly have. And I am sure that you still have to work on keeping that mind quiet and free, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The 90-day program, I do every day of my life. So, yes.
Wow, right, yes. Right. Yeah.
And speak about the comfort zone, I still remember my first 30, 60 days of meditating. Years ago, I got to be honest, I didn't like any parts of it. Seconds, but I'm just like, okay, I'm going to try this. And I think a goal set for 90 days. I'm going to see how I felt after that. But I didn't like it. Now it's the most rewarding, best thing I ever did, because I went beyond my comfort zone.
And you also believed that there was going to be something great that would come out of it. And I want to talk to you more about this and what it was that's great that came out of it, although I suspect I know. But first, we're going to take a word from my sponsors. We'll be right back.
The power of the I Am is yours at LOAAffirmations.com, bringing you the very best in audio affirmations programs, and introducing our newest title, I Am Happy, Healthy, and Wealthy. All of the LOAAffirmations.com programs are MP3 instant downloads and come with multiple audio and subliminal tracks. Order yours today at LOAAffirmations.com.
The law of attraction does work, but if you're unhappy, feeling like a victim, or depressed, you're not going to attract what you want. And that's why I've developed my Happiness First, The Rest Will Follow series. And today I'm offering it to you at 50% off. This has worked for me and hundreds of my students and clients. Just go to my website, LorraineGordon.com, LorraineGordon.com. Put the Happiness First series into your shopping cart, and on checkout, put in the code HAPPY NOW. You'll get it at 50% off, and you'll also receive a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Have you ever imagined a life without worries, fears, and problems? What if I told you that you no longer had to live like that? Changes are possible for you through my teachings and affirmations, CDs, DVDs, and apps. Through our book, Peace in the Present Moment, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and I can show you how living in the present moment will change your life. Visit my website, peaceinthepresentmoment.net, and get inspired on my Facebook page of over 73,000 likes.
Okay, back again with Tony Agel. Tony is the author of The Hero Inside You, and he is telling us about his own spiritual journey and how he's gone from the guy that worked at the nuclear power plant to now be the inspirational writer that he is, helping you to hear your inner wisdom and to get out of your comfort zone and make your dreams come true. And I'm really happy he's here on the show. So Tony, tell us a little more about what inspired you to begin that meditation program.
What inspired me is a few things. Is, again, listening to my heart. And the second thing is people that I really wanted to emulate, be like, or had a message in them, were all talking about meditation. People like Oprah Winfrey, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer. I'm like, okay, if all those people meditate, there's got to be something about it.
Right.
And yeah, so that's what made me make this decision. And again, I realized how important habits are. I'm like, I got to make this a habit. So every morning when I wake up, my eyes wake up, I walk right to my basement and I meditate. But at first it wasn't a habit. Now it's a habit. I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. So I knew those things that if I, did it for, 100 days, it would become a habit. And I knew also, I believed that I would eventually start liking it, and which I did.
And so this is interesting. You went to your basement. Most people, when you think of meditating, you don't think about going into a basement. But you kind of think about going up, not down.
Dungeon. You're right. I went to my dungeon.
but it does kind of tell you, though, that your meditation is within. It doesn't matter where you are. It's a matter of quieting down your mind. What type of meditation did you do? Was there any formal practice, or did you just sit down and try to get silent?
At the beginning, I used certain CDs, and HollySync was one of them, and a couple others. And I used those for a long time, mm-hmm. and I would alternate and all that. Now I got to the point where it's just me and meditation. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at right now.
So now you can go in, and what do? Breathe deeply or something, or just intend to center? Or
What I do, uh-huh. I just sit down, close my eyes, and it happens. Yeah. It happens really, really quick for me.
That's because you're familiar with the place, the energy, the vibration, and you just tune in. You tune into that vibration, right?
Yeah. I guess that I never thought about it, but yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's a tuning in. And most of the time, we're tuned into that noisy rap station that's driving us crazy, or that inner ogre, that critical voice. We're tuned in to another station,
right?
You know?
Yes, absolutely. And life is choices. What are the choices you're willing to make? What are you willing to do? I just saw a great quote. The quote said, if you don't change anything, you won't change. Mm-hmm. It's just so simple. I don't know who said it, but it's just amazing. It's true.
If you don't change anything, you won't change. Good one.
Yes, just seen that.
So ask yourself, Are you wanting something, but you're not making any changes? I mean, that could be the reason why you're not getting what it is you're wanting, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I'm looking back in my whole, my whole history, my whole journey. I'm looking back in my journey, and it's just like, wow, little changes the whole way. And it's like, thank you. Just from, I still remember probably 5 years ago, it sounds really funny, but just the newspaper. The newspaper, I was one of those people that read that newspaper, my local newspaper, from front to back. Just everything. And if I would go on vacation, I would literally save all the papers and read back newspaper. I couldn't miss an episode. And I remember, time to stop reading the newspaper. Time to stop putting that bad consciousness into my brain. Stop putting that what I call bad news in my consciousness.
Right.
And again, it was just a choice. Called the newspaper, stopped it, and everything else. And from that day on, I have not read the newspaper. I just think it's little changes like that, that you know deep inside what the next step will be. Something will direct you. Something will guide you. Something triggers you, and you go,
Pay attention.
Pay attention. And then you're at the road called choice. You're at the road. Which choice will you make? And the one is going to be a little challenging because it will be out of your comfort zone. Again, anything out of your comfort zone. And my comfort zone was reading the paper every single day from front to back. So sure, did it feel uncomfortable maybe for a few weeks? Absolutely. Oh, was it so rewarding, so glad that I did that? Absolutely.
So now you spend that time meditating, right?
Yes.
Same time. So it is interesting, though, that what you put your attention on grows. So if you're putting your attention on the crime and the misery and the state of the economy, that may not be, something that's going to make you happy, but you'll find more evidence to support that. That's what you see in the world. You look for what you believe. You look for evidence of what you believe. And yet, if you move into that state of meditation where you're feeling your oneness with all that is, where you're feeling love and you're feeling expansion as you move through life, that's what life is. It's love and expansion and connectedness, correct?
Absolutely. I agree 100% with you, what you said. And the other thing is, a big thing is start noticing how you feel inside. Like, give you a good example. Now, I'm not saying just put on the news, the nightly news, and watch that nightly news. And then consciously think, how are those stories making you feel inside?
Right.
How do you feel inside?
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge clue. That's how your heart works. Your heart works by feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's giving you a feeling. Just like another feeling could be, I remember today how I felt driving to work Monday mornings.
Mm.
Oh, even it started hitting me Sunday nights. Started hitting me Sunday night like, we talk about a feeling. Well, that's your heart talking to you.
Right.
That's your heart saying, I got something more for you. I got something. When you start doing it, you would run through glass to do it if you could.
Right.
I mean, it's just so rewarding.
Wow. Deepak Chopra, my mentor, says your heart is actually a brain. Your heart is a brain, and to pay attention to your heart. And he also says something else that you sound like you're a student of his. Something else that he says is be as much aware of what's going on within you as what's going on without you. And that's kind of what you just said. Notice how you feel. And if it makes you feel bad, if you're not resonating with it in a nice way, then look for an alternative. This is your heart or your higher self speaking to you, guiding you, helping you to change direction. But we have to pay attention. It's up to us to act. We can hear it. We can get urged. We can feel that misery. But how many people spend, oh my gosh, their whole life doing what they can't stand doing? How many people?
Oh, absolutely. It's called, I'll call it spiritual responsibility. It's still, what's the Bible call it? The Bible, I can't think of the term right now, but you're making a choice, I can't think of the term. But yeah, it's your spiritual responsibility. Death.
Okay, so now you're talking about the Bible, and this is interesting. So I am not a student of the Bible, but I am a student of spirituality and metaphysics and a student of the ancient Indian philosophy, the Upanishads, et cetera, and all the great teachers today. But I certainly do believe that some of the things that I've read in the Bible are beyond fabulous and uplifting and magnificent and so true and so inspiring. And so what in the world happened to religion, Tony?
Well, that's a great question. I will say this, that I don't read the Bible very much either. I find a scripture here and there. But I believe the Bible is probably one of the most spiritual books there are, what I've read from it. And I believe Jesus was one of the most spiritual people, full of love. And like you said, it's a shame religion got in the way of learning this. Mm. Religion, which I already spoke to you about, how I was brought up just to fear God and everything else. But it's a shame religion gets in the way. Religion
separates us instead of bringing us together.
Beautiful. Beautifully. Thank you for helping me say that. Absolutely.
It's true. Absolutely. It's true. And it's really very sad. Very sad. So for those people that are living in this kind of fear-based religious sort of world, what kind of advice would you give them, Tony? Because some people want this, but they're conflicted because their deep down religious beliefs keep them sort of prisoner.
Again, I would say listen to your heart and even listen to your brain on this one. Listen to your brain a little bit on this one because I did this as a kid. I remember, I would say a teenager. Mm-hmm. I just remember thinking one thing. I remember thinking, this God that loves me would actually put me in a place where I burned internally forever. Mm. I mean, think of that punishment. Think of that punishment. Not like I'm going to put you in a fire for 23 seconds, which is still brutal. You know what I mean? As long as 23. Forever. Someone that loves you. You talk, use your heart and your mind and your everything and just think about that. Would somebody that loves you, I mean, would your parents, I mean, most parents that love you wouldn't think about doing that. They would jump in the fire themselves.
Before they let you get in, of course.
Right. Of course. It's called unconditional love. And one of the chapters in my book is called Questioning Attitude. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. One of the most powerful tools there are. We would live in a complete different world if everybody started doing one thing, just questioning things you see on TV, on the news. Is it right? You know, questioning everything. My story for that is, I still remember when I worked at the nuclear plant, they gave flu shots away for free. Mm-hmm. And I saw every single person go get a flu shot.
And then get the flu.
Well, and then I asked a couple of them. I said, you know, what are you, is that good for you? You think you should do it? And all, you know, that type of thing. A couple of them said, you're one of those guys that always got to question authority, and they made me try and make me feel really bad. Now, I'm not about to say on this phone call that flu shots are bad or good for you. That isn't my point. My point is questioning attitude. Google is only 3 seconds away. Google flu shots and see if it's right for you. Just start using, again, your questioning attitude. Again, it's little baby steps, and there's a big baby steps in our daily life using the questioning attitude.
In other words, so stop just following along like a sheep in the pasture and decide that maybe you have to start making your own decisions and carving out your own path.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let me ask you, did you take the flu shot?
No.
neither do I.
I will not put that in my body.
I'm with you, brother.
Yeah. Neither will I. Not at all. It's, you know, the whole thing. It's about money and whatever, but no.
Yeah,
you know, and here's it. I always say the president of the United States can get on TV. Well, it just happened. It just happened. Where he got on and he's talking about, you know, basically killing people or going to war. And we don't question it. We don't use our questioning attitude. But if that president of the United States got on TV and said a few swear words, a couple F-bombs, oh my gosh, can you imagine the media? Can you imagine the talk? Can you imagine how everybody would be reacting to that?
This is interesting. So you're saying an F-bomb will cause you to think and react, but murder will not.
Absolutely.
Wow. I never thought of it that way, Tony. That's smart.
Think about that. Have you ever heard too much of an uproar in the last 10 years when each president talked about going to war? I don't hear much of an uproar.
Actually, I'm hearing more about why we haven't done stuff to stop some of what's going on. But, you know, that's kind of neither here nor there. I think that we have gotten so comfortable with brutality, with violence, because of what we see on television. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was watching a show the other night that I really enjoy the show, but as I'm watching it, I'm like screeching. I'm like hiding my eyes. I mean, I'm my energy's all over the place. I'm so nervous because people's heads are blowing up and this really is not my philosophy, but it's a very entertaining show. It's an ongoing series. But truly, we're so used to it that when you do see the news and you see dead bodies, it doesn't feel much different from watching a TV show, and that's really a crime, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And you're talking about watching movies with violence and all that. That's a huge gift I gave myself a few years ago.
No more? You know, not watching
no, anymore? No, no. I don't want to turn this into a religious. Hopefully the people with this won't think it's religious, but it just, you start feeling so much better about life when you take this out of you. But I was just on a trip last week, and I actually went through the airports, and the news was on there, and wow, does that amplify how you feel when you don't see it for so long?
Oh, so you could tell the difference then.
Yes,
From peace to like the inner jitters, is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah, it just felt so extra bad in me. Now, I still pay attention. Don't get me wrong.
You live in the world. You have
right.
to.
And I go to the gym and there'll be TVs on with no volume and stuff. And I know what's going on. But to actually hear the volume and just it's going actually in you. Yes, yes. It definitely felt completely different. I was like, wow.
Yeah, especially if you're not used to it. And then you do turn it on and every other story is about something awful, something sad, something that's going to make you feel bad. And it would be one thing if we could actually do something to change, but most of it's just kind of there for sensationalism and then to sell products in between, you know, the commercial breaks, that kind of thing. Tony, I want to ask you a question. Does everybody have a purpose and a gift that they can share with the world, in your opinion?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, you're sure about that, right?
Oh, I love that question. And you know what? Here's the test for you. Here's the test. I don't want to answer this for anyone listening. Don't want to answer it. But I want you to do one thing. I want you to just start telling yourself or in the mirror, go, I don't have a purpose in life. I don't have a purpose. I feel that's hard for me to do.
Oh, you mean it feels bad?
Oh.
Did you feel like crying, sort of?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I don't have a purpose in life. I don't have a – say that to yourself. Maybe look in the mirror and ask yourself. Just – and be – where it's really quiet and start – ask yourself how that feels.
My
and
gosh. Go, yeah, that's powerful.
That's getting in touch with yourself. That's getting in touch with your heart and your feelings and start going, I have a purpose. I have a mission. I have a divine mission on my soul. How's it feel? I'll let you answer that. I'll let all the audience answer that for themselves. How that feels for them. There's a great start to get in touch with how you feel. And when you're in touch with this, your life is just changes. It's never the same again. It's unbelievable. And it's living life effortless. Really.
But, and I think that it's important to let the listeners know that you're not talking about somebody's purpose. Doesn't have to be anything that the media picks up. It doesn't have to be anything glamorous. You don't have to, shout your purpose from the rooftops. It's a purpose that's deep inside of you, and it could be something that the world looks at, and there is no fanfare, but it's your purpose, and it's what makes your heart sing.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Like you said, maybe the whole world don't know it, but I'll give you the best example for that. My mother passed away 11 years ago with colon cancer, and her last week she spent in hospice. Mm. And every nurse in there was an angel. I want to call them angels.
Wow.
Now, I never, especially at that point in my life, never ask any one of them if they felt this was their purpose in life. But me, do I feel that majority of those nurses, those hospice nurses, are living their purpose in life? Oh, my goodness, yes. The love, the kindness, the compassion that came from them, and the service, just service. What they made our last week with my mother just so much better. But yes, that's... Sure, but and do they love? Oh, I will tell you one thing. I actually asked the one nurse. I still remember asking her. I said, "How do you do this?" She goes, "I go home and bawl my eyes out every single night, but I love it." So right there it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she loves it. And what a wild universe we live in. Thank God there's, he gives people purposes like that. Or right. There's purpose like that we need. We had such a need at that time, to have someone like that serve us and take care of us.
Well, and there's a purpose for everything. You need your trash collectors. You need your electricians. Yeah. You need, I guess we need our politicians for some reason or another. But there is a, maybe not the way they're doing the job, but there is a purpose for everyone and everything, and it doesn't have to be something that society holds up and has a lot of fanfare for. And you're right, Tony. Those hospice nurses, my sister was in hospice, and I was so helped by these amazing women. They were women, and I'll always love them for what they did for her. And what they did for me. And death isn't pretty necessarily. So they are seeing things that are uncomfortable,
Sure. And when you're doing it. How you're doing it is in the morning, how you feel. How do you feel about the day coming ahead? That's a big clue on how you feel. And I would say the second thing, now, trust me, I think if you're living your purpose, I don't care if you make $1 trillion, $1 billion. But I will say one thing. Money is not your number one thing. Doing your purpose is your number one thing. Service. Those hospice nurses, again, I'm speaking for these ladies, but this is how I felt about it. Sure, they need the energy of money and all that to take care of their family, but that wasn't their number one reason being there. Mm-hmm. Their number one reason for being there was taking care of my mother.
Wow.
Yes.
How could you not love them? Tony, we're just about out of time. You have been, you've been wonderful. You've been, such an inspirational guest, and you're just, what I love about you is you speak plain English. You're a guy that so many people, including me, are relating to. Leave us with something. You've given us so much, but what else would you like the audience to take away from this?
Right now, listen to what's stirring inside of you. I know there's people listening that something stirred inside of you. And go out and purchase my book, The Hero Inside You by Tony Edgell. Either Amazon or TonyEdgell.com. And also, right now I have 5 free videos on my site at TonyEdgell.com. That's Edgell with Edge with 2 L's. Edge with 2 L's. TonyEdgell.com. 5 free videos. Let it go. It's stirring inside of you. Right now, I've been where you're at. Some of you, I might want to apologize. You actually might have trouble sleeping for the next couple of nights or might wake up in the middle of the night. That's your heart and soul stirring inside of you and going, yes, yes, there's more to life.
Thank you, Tony. Tony, you are really a great guy, great guest, and a very inspirational man. And I want to thank you so much for being here today. And hopefully you'll come back another time. And I just once again say that you were a delight.
Lorraine, thank you from the bottom of my heart for having me on. Thank you.
My pleasure, Tony. And for the rest of you listening, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for tuning in and spending your valuable time listening to the guests that I bring you and to my words that hopefully are inspiring you and helping you to live from your heart, as Tony says. And as I say, be happy, happiness first, the rest will follow. When everything that you're trying to achieve, everything you're trying to get is because you believe it's going to make you happy. Well, what I'm telling you is the law of attraction works almost in exactly the opposite way. Happiness first. When you have a vibration and an energy of happiness, you draw to yourself those things that you want. Like maybe it's money. Maybe it's a relationship that somebody that you can love deeply who will love you. Maybe it's better health. So it's happiness first. And what Tony said is so important about quieting down the mind and listening to your soul. I want to offer you something that I have on my site, which is a 5-minute guided visualization meditation. It's 5 minutes long, and it will help you quiet your mind, stop the chatter, get into that peaceful, clear place where you can hear the wisdom of your higher self, where you can hear the direction to find your purpose, those soul-soothing words that you'll get deep inside, but you have to quiet your mind first so that you can hear it. So go to LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com and get those free gifts. And also write a comment right here under the show. Put something down there because you could be responsible for someone reading your words and they listen to this show and get something that will change their life. So do it for me, do it for them, and it's good karma. Do it for you. This is Lorraine Gordon. I want to thank you once again for tuning in, and I will be back with you again next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Happiness First, the Rest Will Follow, with Lorraine Gordon. Because I'm happy. She'll be back next week with another great show. And to learn more about Happiness First, visit LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com. Be sure to subscribe and receive some fantastic free gifts. Lorraine wants to bring you more of what you want, so please make a comment on the show page here. Or you can email her at Lorraine@LorraineGordon.com. And thank you for listening.